welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. So we have a follow-up today on some of the coverage that we've been doing at the University of Washington. And as you guys know, look, there are, yes, peaceful things happening there. There are not so peaceful things happening there. We went to the protest in the counter rally that happened on Sunday, and that's when you get the sort of Antifa types and they get all black blocked up and all that stuff. And then there's been just what I have characterized as a threat to campus security, safety, and the well-being of students. And Ari actually tweeted, our friend Ari Hoffman, this just came in. So you remember we were showing you some of the vandalism that was happening to the beautiful old buildings on campus, things like glory to the martyrs or from the river to the sea. Well, Ari Hoffman just tweeted, almost every building was vandalized overnight by Little Gaza, that's what he calls the encampment, which is kind of funny, in a major escalation. A meeting is expected today about the future of the camp. So anti-Semitism, assaults, discrimination, theft, etc., aren't an escalation, but vandalism is their red line. Are we still calling it peaceful? And again, you know, writing something isn't inherently violent, but when you're writing things that can be taken no other way than anti-Semitic, or in some cases glorifying murder and death, then that is something where if you're running a campus environment, how can you truly say that your priority is to keep kids safe, especially if you're a Jewish student walking around? I mean, to me, it's the equivalent of, you know, painting a swastika on a building. And I digress. But every time there's a swastika painted on a building, when it was like right wing, you know, back during the Trump era, did the news not do a story? Evening news. It'd be on the evening news. It'd be on all the websites. Every news station would cover it. If they thought that a right-wing neo-Nazi put up a swastika on something, and I'm not saying they shouldn't have covered it, but now you see all this and it's like, silence. Nothing to see here, folks. God, the hypocrisy is draining. Anyway, so we went to UW, obviously, when there was kind of a more tense situation on Sunday, but a few days earlier on Friday, we decided to go in the middle of the day and see what was happening at this occupied encampment at a time where there weren't clashes between opposing sides, etc. And we wanted to do more than that. We wanted to try our very best to broker conversations that were meaningful. And that could help not necessarily unite people or help, you know, change people's hearts and minds, but help them understand the two sides a little bit better. And I went into it thinking, well, I don't know if me talking to these occupiers on the quad is going to do that. I mean, I'm certainly no expert in, you know, the history of relations and what's happening in Israel and Gaza. And so I thought we'd bring some friends with us who certainly have a much more personal stake in what's going on. So we are going to take you now to the campus of the University of Washington.
Nazi.
Oh.
What?
Oh, you can ask my family in the Holocaust that.
I'm Brandi Cruz with the Undivided Podcast. We're here at the University of Washington, and we're going to try to engage some of the protesters here in actual productive conversation. Imagine that. We're going to see how it goes. So what we're going to do is we're going to set up some tables with some boards that invite people in to ask a question. So David's here. You're Jewish. And explain your background a little bit.
Sure. My name's David Salavi. I live here in Seattle. I am born and raised. After college, I had a midlife crisis, a quarter life too early, and went and joined the Israeli military. I went and joined the war. I recently got back just a couple of weeks ago, and here to see if we can make some connections.
Yeah, and then John Michael.
Hello.
Also Jewish. So what are you hoping to engage people in today?
I'm hoping to engage in productive conversation because I think hopefully we can find some common ground, see if how radical they are, if we can actually maybe change some minds that Israelis are people, that the encampments are really create a sense of fear for Jewish students on campuses. And I'm an alumni of this campus. It wasn't as bad when I went here, but it's sad to see this.
Yeah, and then just to spice things up, in case we're feeling frisky, we got former State Senator Simon Sefcik, who is going to have a board that says, I'm a Republican, ask me a question. How do you think that's going to go?
I think I'm asking for trouble, but I think it'll be fun.
He's a nice guy. How could you not like this guy? Look at that face. So anyway, we'll see how it goes. We're just hoping to be productive, and we'll check back in. You'll see behind me that there's a media center. We're not going to check in at the media center. night feeling brave?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, 100%.
Absolutely.
What are you wearing? What is this? Oh,
this is a Bring Them Home dog tag, which, as we know, there's north of 100 hostages still in Gaza. Children, infants, old people, a couple Holocaust survivors, I think, too.
Yeah, a few.
So that is remembering them, which apparently I don't think they care all too much about over in that encampment.
We'll find out.
We will find out.
I was just curious. I saw you guys had go ahead and ask you something or whatever. And,
go for it.
It's my first time walking through here.
Please. And,
feel free to sit.
From your guys' perspective, what's going on and how are you guys feeling? What kind of experiences have you had over the last couple of weeks?
You might wonder, right, why is this even necessary, right? There's been a lot of students on campus who've texted me saying, I don't feel safe leaving my dorm. I've been harassed for being Jewish. There was someone, I believe, on the news, I might be misquoting her, she was a student here, and said someone told her to, quote, go back to the gas chambers, right, in this encampment, right? So
somebody here said that to her?
Yes. People don't uphold their values here, right? This is a left-wing university, right? And I've had a lot of students come to me who, there was sexual assault of Israeli women on October 7th, and we just came from the Me Too movement because we didn't listen to women for decades, right, about sexual harassment and assault, and then suddenly there's not enough evidence. Or, and I could kind of bring you into the conversation here, and you could, you know, give me your two cents on this, right? Where, you know, there are Jewish individuals over there. I do also know Arab Zionists, right? But there's always this kind of idea where you are still able to be, and I completely agree with this, you are still able to be racist if you have a black friend, right? But suddenly, you know, people seem to be screaming, well, look, I can't be anti-Semitic. I'm Jewish, right? It's one of those things, right? And you see the messaging there. So, what do you think?
Okay, so I'm from the United States. I was born here. I'm a citizen. Sure. I vote, and I totally oppose what the United States has done in Vietnam when I was a teenager, in Iraq, in Afghanistan. I'm Jewish. I'm not Israeli. I'm totally against what Israel is doing right now. It is not Jewish to starve people. It is not Jewish to drop 2,000-pound bombs on homes, hospitals, roads.
But you have to ask a question, right, which is about war, right? War is a terrible thing, right? I disagree with war. However, right, you know, I would do anything to defend my brothers and sisters, right? And I don't know if you have siblings. I hope you do, right? But I hope, if God forbid this isn't a threat, I can try to hurt him. I hope I wouldn't come out alive, right? And you would come and try to do your darndest, right? And you're right, at what cost? There needs to be an end game after this, right? The answer isn't kill every Palestinian, right? However, one of my issues with this encampment is, you know, I'm willing to say I don't think the Palestinians should go anywhere. I'm not willing to do that, even though, you know, I feel like I, quote unquote, have more of a right to the land. I'm not going to kick them off. They have a history.
Yeah.
Right? But what I'm hearing over there are chants like, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
Yeah.
And then they say, well, we just mean freedom. We just mean equality, right? Maybe to part of the group.
Yeah.
I fought in the war, mm-hmm. right?
What time period, if you don't mind me asking?
I came back about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
I was about there for 2 months.
Goddamn.
So
you were in there.
What? Okay. Yeah. I was there, right?
Would any of you like to sit down instead of stand?
Oh, yeah, no, please. No. You sound very thoughtful.
Hey,
sorry. You sound very thoughtful.
No, yeah, because I think it would be very hypocritical of me to have, like, to be in support of this and then to come over and be like, well, you know, you know, like, that's
no,
not 100%. Aggressive at all. Like, I really do want to understand.
And at the end of the day, how I view this, and this could be me and we can differ, people are born there. They didn't choose where they were born. We have to deal with the situation as it stands. We can't talk about, okay, well, then just remove all of the Israelis from the land because they're not native. Oh, or we can't talk about, well, let's remove all the Palestinians from the land because we as Jews don't think they're indigenous and we have a longer claim. No. Two peoples between the river and the sea are born there. We have to figure that out. And so that's why the way forward, I think, is for, personally, a two-state solution, where you have an independent Palestinian state in the West Bank, even a three-state solution if you want in Gaza, with Israel proper.
How was your experience today?
It was a really, I think, productive experience. I think we genuinely came in here seeking to bridge divides and have conversations, and that's honestly what happened. I had this conversation with someone today, and at first they came in pretty skeptical, but the fact that they even came into the table at first was really impressive. And, you know, by the end of the conversation, and like these things don't happen in like little social media bits that are like 5 seconds, by the end of like the 45 to an hour minute conversation, she said, wow, you know what? I mean, Israel has to exist. Israel's going to continue to exist. And she was like, I'm still going to be liberal. I'm still going to be like pro-Palestinian. I said, yeah, that's fine. Absolutely. But she now believes that the Israelis aren't going anywhere and that Israel as a state has to stay. And the Palestinians solve something on their side with Israelis or not with Israelis, but Israel is going to stay. And that, for me, to turn someone from against the existence of the state of Israel to acknowledging that Israel is going to stay and it has to exist for the Jewish people was the biggest win, like, biggest win possible. And even if it's just one person now, it's a successful day.
David, talk us through what you're about to do.
Ooh, some may call it suicide. I call it having a sign that says, I defended Israel and the IDF. I was there during the current war, and I am here to answer people's questions. And it may not go well.
What's up, guys? I was in communities where that happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that only happening on one side?
What do you mean? Beheading and raping women?
Is that only happening to one side of people?
That specifically, yes.
Nope, it's not. ILF rapes people all the time. Wow. Like, that is a huge tactic.
You want to sit down and have a chat about it?
No, I don't need to chat with you.
Everyone Google the fucking news.
Yeah, like, y'all, this man okay. is actually a murderer. Like, we can't talk with him.
Well, you never even asked if I killed anyone, but...
Of course you did. You're an ILF soldier, dude.
If I mean, have, I actually like, haven't, but...
Like, we're barely even there, so why are you here talking to us right now?
So...
Because you're a shit. Goodbye.
Again, very nice talking to you.
Look,
right, I'm not going to yell at them, right, because I have an opinion on this entire thing. Oh, you can ask my family in the Holocaust that. As someone who thought, like, I don't think there's any answer where the Palestinians do not exist in that land, okay? Right? Would you tell me in the same way that there's not a future where Jews do not exist on that land?
There were Jews already existing in that
land. No, but that's not my question. Hold on 1 second. I just want to answer her question. I will get right to you.
Listen to me.
Okay, I'm only going to do one person right now. If you would like to sit down, we can chat.
I think that's the only way to keep it like...
I would love to chat with you another time, if you like, because...
You're just a schmuck. You're just a schmuck because you think you can speak for everyone, and you can't.
Okay, like, we're having a nice conversation, you just called me a schmuck. That hurts. That hurts my feelings.
Get over it.
Oh.
Look at what you're doing. You're trying to have people go against you right now.
I'm not trying to have anyone go against me. I would be happy if everyone agreed with me. Right? However, I think there's people dying right here. You're saying I want to dunk on people? Regardless of who you think is, like, right or wrong? Like, this is a very serious thing, and I don't take it so unseriously that I just go around calling people schmucks.
Does right. I completely reject the idea of Jewish supremacy. I think we're human beings like everyone else.
Yeah, I just wanted to share that, like, I learned my class.
Yeah. The people they won't leave when it's threatening about divesting them on their peace. The problem isn't the protest, it's what they're protesting. It goes against what our country is funding. Block the barricade until Palestine is free. Block the barricade until Palestine is free.
And that's how our time at the UW campus came to an end, being drowned out by Macklemore's brand new protest song. I had a lot of fun during that. Look, I think when they had the two signs that said, I am Jewish, ask me anything, There were much more reasonable conversations and people who really wanted an exchange of ideas. And then when we moved David over to the sign that said, I defended Israel with the IDF, ask me a question, then you had some slightly more unhinged responses, as you saw, and you kind of devolve, they devolve into the name calling. I mean, they called the guy a Nazi. And I loved his retorts, like, tell my family members who, or my family who are in the Holocaust that. And, you know, what I found interesting about that second, when you just switch the sign, is maybe it just makes him look like less of, you know, just Jewish American. And obviously we saved that sign for last because we knew that it would elicit a different sort of reaction. But I actually thought that that second sign would lead to more questions about the IDF and about what he did and about why, you know, they've approached the war in a certain way and it didn't. People just wanted to call him a baby killer, even though he said, I've never killed anybody, and call him a Nazi. But man, both Jason Michael and David were so great. And especially at the end there, David, to sit there with that sign in front of him when there had been at one point maybe 10 or 15 students just sort of shouting their thoughts at him, not even having questions. I commend both of them. We didn't get to the Simon Sefcik, I'm a Republican sign, because we figured if they weren't biting with the other signs, maybe we'd put Simon there with a sign that said, I'm a Republican. We didn't get around to it, but we'll have to do that another time and make another visit back to the University of Washington. But I was impressed with the number of people who were willing to sit and actually have a conversation and maybe change their minds a little bit about what that region looks like moving forward. So we'll get out on in the field and do a little bit more of that. But yeah, had a wonderful time in the hot sun, right, Nicole? I told Nicole we'll be there.
It was very hot.
I said we'll be there for 90 minutes and then we were there for 6 hours.
A little bit longer.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You know, no. We're having a good time.
It was fun. Those are fun guys to hang out with anyway.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we're going to talk about some crime issues coming up next. First, I have told you if you're selling your home at any point in 2024, don't worry about where the interest rates are at. When they drop, you're going to want your home to be ready to hit the market. And that sometimes takes work. Sometimes you need some cosmetic updates to just make your home show better. Bryce and Carla, they decided to retire, move to Florida. They also reached out to our friend Wes Jones after hearing about him on the show. And Bryce says, you know, he was impressed with obviously how much Wes knew about the individual market, but about some of the suggestions that were made as well.
His attention to detail, he was extraordinarily detailed, and he knew our neighborhood and our properties in the neighborhood very well. He gave us a really great comp plan, showed us what other properties were selling for, and most importantly, he helped us to understand the dangers of overpricing. And we thought what we knew we could get for the property, but we didn't, you know, at the same time, he breathed an air of reality into us, said, look, guys, you want to get that out of the property, you're going to need to start at a certain point, and you're going to let the market come to you. And that's exactly what happened. He was exactly right about that.
And they sold their home in 7 days, well over list price, and they're living out their retirement in sunny Florida. Good for them. So if you're in the market to sell your home, sure, check out a few real estate agents, but don't choose one until you've talked to our friend Wes. Sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. Are Washington State's soft on crime policies leading us down a path to vigilantism? I think the answer is yes. And when you go through this period of defunding the police, we now have the lowest number of police officers per capita of any state in the nation. So you have fewer police officers to respond to even the crimes that they will prosecute individuals for. And so it's just led to a real lack of law and order. And we see this playing out. I do think that there is at least a small segment of Democrats who've seen that, who've been willing to wind back their misguided police pursuit law, which was pushed through in 2021. And because of, thankfully, a Let's Go Washington initiative coming up on June 6th, so less than a month from now, police departments, if they choose, will be able to pursue criminals again and people who steal vehicles again, which would have been a nice policy to have on the books. When a guy walked into a small car lot in Eatonville called Sunrays Auto Sales in the middle of the day and decided he was going to steal a truck. He was going to steal a truck that they were just cleaning up to put out for sale. Now, when the owner of Sunrise Auto Sales saw this, his name's Aaron Babcock, he was armed with a gun, he decided to go out and confront the guy. Like, no, you're not going to steal a truck that on my watch in the middle of the day. They've got customers in the lot, holds him at gunpoint. Well, that didn't faze the car thief. The car thief was apparently not scared that he might get shot, so he decided to ram his way out of this car lot, putting lives in danger in the process, and proceed to flee. Now, Aaron Babcock did what most people would do. They called, he had his employees and shouted at them while this guy was at gunpoint, call 911. Obviously, we got this guy at gunpoint. Get the police coming. Get the police coming our way. The only issue is because of the pursuit law and how it was, police were only able to pursue this suspect to a certain length, to a certain extent. So what did Aaron Babcock do? Well, Aaron Babcock decided he was going to pursue him. If the police weren't going to pursue him, he was not going to let this guy just get away. So he ends up pursuing him, catching up with him again, holding him at gunpoint again. Police finally arrived, took the guy into custody. This was in November of 2022. And Aaron thought, well, that's that. Police couldn't do it. Their hands are tied, so I did it. And no one was, he didn't shoot the guy or anything like that. So he thinks, you know, that's done. Well, fast forward to March of this year, and Aaron Babcock finds out that he is being charged by the Pierce County Prosecutor's Office with reckless driving for running a couple red lights when he was chasing after this car thief because police wouldn't do it. So Aaron was understandably blindsided, and we had him on Sundays with Subscribers this past week to just talk. We talked a lot about the ordeal and step-by-step of what he went through, and also just this frustration. It's like, I'm being charged because I tried to defend my property and get my property back when police couldn't do it. Here's a clip from our conversation with Aaron Babcock.
I don't know if he was running out of fuel or, you know, blew through the brakes or what was going on, but the truck was kind of he was probably beating on it pretty hard. So the truck was kind of not driving properly. Yeah. And, you know, between that and being in heavy traffic, I was able to catch up and get right next to him. And at that time, I don't know why it didn't make a difference when he was here when I pulled my gun, but I pulled my gun out again and then, rolled my window down, screaming at him to pull over, and he did stop.
Wow.
Luckily.
So you held him there. Eatonville police came. They eventually arrested him. When did you realize that not only was he going to be arrested, but you'd face charges as well?
So I got a call after, you know, he was detained and everything, and I got my vehicle off the road and had a couple seconds for my adrenaline to calm down. I had a call from one of the police officers in the Eatonville area that was still at our dealership. And he said, hey, you need to get back here. We're charging you with reckless driving. So they told me that immediately.
Wow.
And I'm mind blown. And the officers that were there, you know, detaining him, I told them that. And they were like, there was no way, man. You know, pat me on the back. What you did was a good thing. I mean, you know, they were on my side about it. Like, you're not going to get charged. That would be crazy. So that was kind of calming, and I didn't really know what was going on. But by the time that I had handled the situation there and got my truck back, the police here were gone. So I didn't really hear anything of it. And obviously, this is a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So
when did you find out that you were actually going to get charged?
You know, I got this truck. My truck is stolen. I got it back. Thanks for everyone's help and everything. Pierce County said that they were going to charge me with reckless driving. And I did post it online. A lot of people were saying, well, that's crazy. You know, we'll stand up for you. We'll be there. I had a lot of support. Pierce County Vehicle Task Force, I believe, you know, a couple of people there that worked for them. They reached out to me and said, hey, we support you. You're not going to get charged. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So that kind of fell apart. I kind of forgot about it. A year and a half later, I get a, you know, piece of paper in the mail from Pierce County and it says, hey, was a summons for reckless driving.
A year and a half incident. Later?
So, year and a half later. I just found that out about last week. Yep. We've had insurance and the insurance totaled it out. So that was at least nice for us that we had the insurance. But then a month later, we get our rates are going up. And then another month later, they said, hey, we're going to drop you at the end of the year. So we ended up, they ended up staying with us. But our rates, I'm not even kidding, they doubled.
Wow.
So, and it's already really expensive. Insurance is already really hard. That's one of our biggest overhead costs for our business.
Yeah.
So for our insurance to go up double every year, it makes it even more difficult to be able to be open as a business.
What would you say to some of our state representatives and the governor?
Right. Well, I mean, it seems to me like it seems like common sense. You take you're pulling the rights away from citizens and almost giving them to the criminals and taking it so that the police can't even enforce laws. It's almost like, you know, anybody should, it's hard to say, but yeah, I don't know. It's pretty crazy that we're even in this situation. It almost seems like it's done on purpose.
It does, doesn't it? And I don't blame Aaron Babcock for being speechless, because how do you put words to something when it doesn't make any sense? How do you send a message to elected leaders to try to explain to them why it doesn't make sense to just let criminals have a free pass and a free getaway? It's nonsensical. So, you know, maybe this situation would have been avoided in terms of Aaron being charged criminally had police been able to pursue this suspect. But I got to say to Pierce County prosecutors, give me a freaking break. Give me a freaking break. And especially in Pierce County, you guys have common sense. You know that sheriff's deputies, police, their hands are tied. And I'm sorry, and I don't support vigilante justice, obviously. There's a reason why I don't want, you know, human A to be judge, jury, and executioner for human B. And I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't see Aaron's driving. I don't know if people were put in danger by him. I mean, it's Eatonville, so I've been there. I have to imagine, you know, it's not bumper-to-bumper traffic, as he pointed out. But there's a reason why you don't want citizens taking the law into their own hands. But this is the situation the state has put people in. It's like either you just shut up and take it, and you're like, yeah, steal my stuff. Yeah, assault me, whatever, and I guess we'll just hope real hard for justice. But as you know, you don't get justice in this state unless you're Bob Ferguson and you're complaining about, you know, people who committed a crime to try to hurt your chances of becoming governor. So I don't support vigilante justice, but I also am on Aaron's side here. The Pierce County Prosecutor's Office really ought to drop those charges. That just is so insane and so unfair. I hope they do what's right there, especially considering all the other crimes that aren't being prosecuted. It's like you're going to go after this business owner who's just desperate, whose insurance rates are unaffordable because of all of this stuff. Give me a freaking break. I do suggest watching the full interview with Aaron. Again, it was on Sundays with subscribers. This past week, you can sign up undividedpod.com. But Jesus, you know, it's like, what are you supposed to do?
Where's that suspect? I'm not sure that we got the answer to that.
If the case has been resolved.
Right. But if he's not facing any repercussions that we know of.
Well, he was arrested, so I imagine that case pending, but we should check in on that. And will he get more or less time?
We're pretty soft on those.
Yeah, will he get more or less time than Aaron Babcock?
Right.
We might have to have a protest for Aaron, because, like, I'm not happy about this. So go, if you're in the market for a vehicle, go to Sunrise Auto Sales in Eatonville. Mm-hmm. Help out Aaron and his team. He was joking with us that their slogan after this was cars are a steal or something like that. Deals are a steal. Anyway, we can laugh, but it's tragic. Speaking of the lawlessness on our roadways, this statistic shocks me, and I'm not shocked very easy. I think you have what you feel, right? And I think I mentioned this on the show yesterday. I don't love getting bogged down in crime stats, because there's a couple reasons I don't think crime stats are all that accurate, especially when politicians are using them to tell us crime's going down. You know, defund the police, police can't respond to more things, people stop even reporting crimes if it's not violent active emergencies. And then they're like, oh, hey, property crime is down, you know, 60%. It's like, that's just bull. That's just not how that works. So I don't listen to them when they try to manipulate data. But when you have a huge spike in something, as long as it's not something that, like, just became a crime, or I mentioned, you know, with Washington State's hate crime hotline. As soon as that goes into effect, you're going to have a big spike in hate crime numbers. It's not because there's going to be more hate crimes happening. It's going to be because more people are reporting it. But anyway, this number, I don't know how it can be twisted any other way other than people are treating our roadways like Grand Theft Auto. Road rage shootings up 200% in Washington since 2014. 200%. Road rage shootings. And nationally, that number's up 450% across the entire country. That's from a nonprofit newsroom called The Trace. Reports that since 2014, gun-involved road rage incidents have nearly quadrupled. One in four of those people shot by angry drivers were killed. And that's terrible stuff, because in a lot of road rage, true road rage incidents, you're talking about stranger crimes. And those are the most terrifying crimes to me. It's not somebody you had a beef with. It's not a drive-by shooting, you know, gang shooting or something. It's someone who got so enraged that they pulled out a gun on a stranger on the freeway or on a roadway or a city street. That's, you know, and you might look at that and say, well, it's just, why aren't we more concerned about that? Because think about that. If you can shoot at a stranger in the middle of the day who driving your car because you got so mad, you can do anything. You can do anything. Like, even if you don't hit someone, or even if you just pull out your gun on them, that's someone who's capable of doing anything. And now that's happening 200% more often in Washington State and 450% more often since 2014 across the country. And I think there's a lot of things, and Nicole, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this. I think there's a lot to attribute this to. People will say, let me guess. Nicole, what do you think people would attribute this to?
Oh, video games?
No.
Or COVID?
Yeah, COVID. Come on. Whenever I ask you, it's always COVID.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, I'm sure that COVID didn't help people's mental well-being. I blame the government, right? It's like, yep, keeping people inside, and then there was no traffic, and then when there was, people are like, I forgot about this, and they just rage. But also kids, I do blame video games. I mean, the gory nature of Grand Theft Auto is like, you look like you're actually murdering someone.
Yep.
And then you have kids who they're on their phones. They don't know what it's like to have human friends and touch grass, and they get detached. I would be very curious to see the age ranges for that data set.
Right, I'm sure.
The age ranges of people who are perpetrating those crimes. And it's not to say that there haven't been road rage incidents involving, you know, grown-ass men who can't control their tempers, right?
Yeah, but I do think it is this probably 16 to 25-year-old range where they're just, they have no coping skills. No one's taught them how to cope with their feelings. No one's taught them how to resolve conflict between themselves, between other people. And I think that that's why we're seeing this. And then I think that to answer your question about why we're not more concerned about it, is I think it's kind of being muffled, because I think it's extremely concerning. And I think about it quite often, just when I pass people on the freeway. Yeah, because I see these stories.
You're out there driving like a jerk, and you're scared somebody's going to come up on you and shoot you for it.
But because I see these stories every day, we're consumed with media, right?
Yep.
And so I see these stories every day. I see that they're pretty random a lot of the times, and I think that that's kind of getting hit. I mean, public officials, things like that, aren't wanting to point out that these are random people, because that's freaking scary.
It is. The peak of the shootings, it says, only just passed. 2022 was Washington's most violent year. 715 gun involved road rage incidents in our state.
Those are not gang, I mean, they might be gang members pulling the gun, but they're not gang members between gang members all the time. Like, I think we excuse a lot of things, or don't worry about a lot of things, because we're like, gang, you know, oh, that's a gang member, it's whatever. But this is not gang members. These are people that are losing their tempers.
That's crazy. Two a day in our state involving guns. Like, that's crazy. They're apparently scary. Centered around the I-5 corridor, Spokane, Yakima, and the Tri-Cities. So, yeah, and I also wonder, though, the tie into our previous story about vigilantism. When people are treating the roadways, you know, driving 120 miles an hour or whatever it is, and there's no consequences for them, and that being people, I mean, there's no excuse for it, right? Mm-hmm. But they're like road raging, nobody's doing anything about it, and so they go up and go off. But you also mentioned people they're not capable of dealing with conflict, any sort of real conflict. And that actually is sort of seems like one of the things that led to that deadly stabbing up on Capitol Hill we talked about earlier this week at the light rail station. So remember, I mean, you know, light rail has been totally horrible, but we're learning some new details about the 37-year-old who was stabbed to death up at the Capitol Hill light rail station and the 26-year-old suspect, a man named Sean Moore. So just really quickly, because this hit me when I heard this, one of the best, this is going to sound like a huge segue, but it'll make sense. One of the best dinner experiences I've had, like maybe in my entire time in Seattle, was a few months ago with girlfriends on Capitol Hill at a place called Harry's Fine Foods. We had this like awesome dinner. The food was phenomenal. And it just sticks in my mind because everybody there was so nice. The food was great. And so come to find out that the 37-year-old who was stabbed to death was a chef there. And so I don't know why it hit me like that, but it's just like, well, I wonder if he cooked our food. Right. And I wonder, you know, and I had, anyway, I had thought about sending after that dinner, Harry's Fine Foods manager an email saying how wonderful our experience is. And I kind of wish I would have, but I don't know if he was there cooking that day. But his name is Corey Bellett. And Harry's Fine Foods, they put this up on Mother's Day. It's with a heavy heart that we've decided to close today and tomorrow. Last night, we lost one of our beloved team members unexpectedly. We have decided to give our Harry's family time to grieve and process his terrible loss. We apologize for any inconveniences. We'll be back Tuesday. For now, hug your mom tight today and keep your loved ones close. So just very sad stuff. But going back to our previous conversation about how people can't deal with conflict, what it sounds like this started over is the 26-year-old who's now probably going to, you know, go to trial for murder. He was mad about how this chef brushed past him on the light rail station. This is from King 5. Suspect allegedly stabbed man to death for, quote, brushing past him at the Capitol Hill light rail station. So this 26-year-old suspect, judge found probable cause for second-degree murder. His bail's been set at $3 million. And King 5 News says there's surveillance video of this, which obviously we're not going to show to you. But basically that after that, the guy pulls out, you know, there's some pushing and shoving. And the suspect pulls out a knife and stabs this 37-year-old man to death, Corey Bellett. But again, because someone brushed past you, your recourse is to what happened to fisticuffs, you know what I mean? And I don't know if there's any underlying mental health issues or something like that with the suspect. Seems like there would have to be
for you to murder somebody. Serious
rage for you to murder someone who brushed past you wrong, if that's the case. So I don't know about that, so I can't pontificate about it. But what happened to just throwing fisticuffs if you're really, that's what men used to do, right?
Right.
It's like, no, now I gotta shoot them. Now I gotta stab them. So there is something seriously wrong in our society. We've got the government that's pushing disorder, that's almost pushing it into this, what's the movie where it's like a free for all, purge situation. What's the movie out there where they're, somebody's gonna tell me in the comments.
Yeah.
Where it's like a, sorry. I can never think of these things that they're like on a road and they're like all dressed like.
I don't watch scary movies.
Techie. No. Anyway, that was the worst description I've ever had. Somebody,
on a road techie.
Something fury.
Fury.
Road fury. Okay. Anyway, they're creating this environment that's completely lawless because they are prioritizing criminals, the Mad Max. Okay. Mad Max.
I was going to say there is a movie called Fury, but it doesn't look like what you're talking about.
They're creating this Mad Max environment, this purge environment where the government's like, well, we're going to take it easy on criminals. We're going to pass all these laws. We're going to make it harder for you to get justice as a victim. We're going to push people into vigilantism because they have no other choice unless they just want to succumb to all the criminals. And then we're going to make it so bad that they've got to come back to us, you know, crawling back to us for the government to take care of us. And that's how they expand government and grow government and get you to feel like you need the government's protection. And then at the same time, we have this climate, and it's particularly true for young people. This is a 26-year-old guy who's lived obviously his entire life in a period of time where you're stuck, you're attached at the hip to your phone and you just cannot deal with any sort of conflict. We've taught young people that they can do no wrong, that they're victims, blah, 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 that everyone gets a participation trophy. So they can't deal with disappointment. I think this is Nicole that made this point on the show maybe last year. It's just a wonderful point. It's like they can't deal with disappointment because we don't allow them to. We don't expose them to disappointment and struggle and heartbreak and all of these things. And I'm not saying every parent does this, but even at school, you know, there's this coddling. There's no consequences. And so then they do stuff like this. And it's just like, brush past you, so I'm going to stab you to death. I don't know where we hit rock bottom on this situation, but we're really heading very quickly toward complete lawlessness, and which will lead to more government control of our lives, which I don't want. And I don't think either of you do either. All right. I've encouraged you guys to take the First Mark Challenge, firstmarkinsurance.com. Firstmarkinsurance.com. It really is a no-brainer. I mean, we have a lot of great advertisers. First Mark is the one where it's like, it doesn't cost you anything. And I just think there's no reason not to set aside some time, especially if you're dealing with your insurance on your own, to do the First Mark Challenge, because they're going to go out, they're going to shop the market for you, and they're going to do it tailored exactly to what you need. So you're not paying for any insurance you don't need. You have enough insurance for what you have. You have something that's in your budget, and then they're going to take care of your insurance and updates and constantly going through and double checking that you have what you need for the rest of your life as a member of the First Mark family, and you never pay them anything. I've heard so many wonderful stories from those of you who have taken the First Mark Challenge. Jackie says, the First Mark Challenge was wonderful. My insurance is where it needs to be. They answered all the questions I had, helped me make the right decisions in my car insurance swap. If anyone's on the fence about trying First Mark, I hope they do it because it's really helpful and they might learn something they weren't aware of. Not only am I a member of the First Mark family personally, but our business is also insured through First Mark because we just really, really love the service that we get. So I highly, highly recommend taking the First Mark Challenge. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. Okay, as if women's sports weren't under attack enough, we're going to add another layer to that story today. So as you know, it's becoming increasingly easy for men to participate in women's sports and to enter that realm. Harder for women to participate in men's sports, not because in Washington they won't let them, right, but because they can't physically compete. It's very hard at the high school level in particular for a woman, a biological girl, to compete in a sport like football or in a sport like basketball against men. But if you've got a man who wants to identify as a woman and play with the women, like, they're going to go in there and dominate. And so there's been this effort to expand opportunities for young women in sports. And I don't think it's really tied to the transgender issue in debate, because the people who are pushing this, I don't think ideologically have any issue with men competing in women's sports. But basically, they want to create more spaces for young women to compete in something like football, where they couldn't go into a football team in high school and compete well because they're just going to get eviscerated. So there has been an effort that's been backed by the Seahawks and Doug Baldwin. They've been petitioning the WIAA to allow girls in high school to compete as a certified sport in flag football. And, you know, there was a lot of support for this idea, but the WIAA has just voted and they've decided that they're not going to do that. Let's talk about why in our segment, Unbelievable. Boop. So WIAA votes no flag football for girls. Now, it's a club sport, but they wanted it to be an official, recognized, you know, they could have tournaments and all of that through WIAA. And the Washington Interscholastic Activities Association says no. This is from the Seattle Times. And I know Nicole heard from a lot of people yesterday, like, this is bull. So we'll talk more about that. The WIAA released the results of voting from its representative assembly on Monday morning, and girls flag football was not made a sanctioned sport in the state. The rep assembly is made up of 53 members from across the state and is largely populated with athletic directors. Flag football was one of 13 amendments, so-called because they amend the state constitution or rulebook, that failed. Girls badminton was also not added as a sport, nor was e-sports. An amendment needs 60% to pass. The vote was 26-27 against it. So it just narrowly failed. Nicole, if you want to come in and talk a little bit about what people have been telling you about this, it sounds like, you know, their rationale was, oh, well, there's not enough, like, girl athletes to go around to add another sport. Kind
of. So a couple of their reasoning behind this decision was that they didn't have the space to provide them given the season. There would be too many spring sports. None, you can't play fields, it in the winter, yeah, because it would snow, things like that. But as I think I heard Brock Heward point out yesterday, they could do half fields. They could, mm-hmm, they could make it work. There's lots of options for that. And then the other complaint was that it would take away from other girls' sports, which I just think is obnoxious because it is the girl's choice which sport she wants to play. So you can't say, we're not going to do flag football because we want enough girls to play volleyball. Like, if they want to play flag football over volleyball, that's their choice. So sorry, you don't have enough or volleyball players, but that's the way it goes. Like, I just think those are ridiculous reasons because they're both easily put to bed.
Well, and also it is at a time where women's sports are, in my opinion, under attack. Mm-hmm. These spaces for women's sports are being
taken over slowly by men. I'm not saying that there's a ton of trans athletes in women's sports, mm-hmm. but it's allowed in our state. You know, it's happening more and more by the year because this is, a lot of it is social contagion. It just is. And so it's like, wow, you can't you throw them a bone and like give them a space where they can participate in something? Although, if it is a WIAA sport, a recognized sport, boys would be able to play in it too. That's, so then you'd have...
That might be one of the other things.
Right, then you'd have... Of. Which I would bother me less than a sport like basketball where you have actual physical contact. Like, at least it's flag football where they're not going to... Some dude's not going to come in and absolutely flatten a girl. But it would be a girls' sanctioned sport, but would it be? Right. You know?
Oh, that's a very good point. Would Maybe it they're be? Trying to avoid that conflict. But yeah, there's... I mean, another reason I've heard is funding, but the Seahawks were willing to fund it.
Yeah.
So they've given them multiple grants. They've agreed to grants or right. something to make it happen. So yeah, maybe that is the only reason they've got left, is we're just going to have a bunch of boys play and we don't want that. So
I mean, I don't know. But it until seems they figure that. There's a lot of parents who are upset by this, you know, who – and you make a good point about, okay, so if girls want to do flag football instead of volleyball, so be it. But you're going to force them into a certain sport? Like, I don't... It's like, girls get the short end of the stick right now.
I had not thought of your point, so I'm pretty convinced that's probably why they did it.
Because
boys would play.
You're giving them the benefit of the doubt and thinking, why would we create another sport that... Another girl's sport that boys can just infiltrate?
Right. I mean, it's not...
I mean, that would be giving the WIAA the benefit of the doubt, but this is a board... Right. So maybe there were enough of them that said, no, we're not adding another chick sport that dudes are going to play in. Who knows? OK.
I don't know.
Both of those are the both of because those are possibilities.
You have to. Yeah, I'm curious. I don't know if you. Yeah, I wonder. We'll have to go back and look at how their rules are broke down yeah. as far as if how you have to live as a trans person to no. be able to play. I don't know how
I think they have
identify.
Pretty loose rules here. Yeah. So yeah, if any of you happen to know someone or were on the board that makes the vote, you know, mm-hmm. Let us know if that might be what happened, but I tend to doubt. They're just like, screw girls.
I don't
girls,
think they'll say that.
You know, so, well, off but, the record they might. Hmm. Anyway, all right, this weekend, it's happening this weekend, the grand opening of Phase 2 at Natchez RV Resort. I've already been talking about how wonderful it is over there. It's outside Sela, and this is a luxury RV resort. So you can have your house in Seattle or wherever it is, and then Friday comes around, escape the crazy, go over there. They've got a 4,300 square foot clubhouse, gourmet kitchen, great room, fitness center. The pool and hot tub are coming soon. Man, they got everything. Pickleball courts, playground, dog park, miles of recreational trails, swimming pool, hot tub. I don't know when it's opening. It's soon, though. They said it's coming soon. They're working on it. And then wine tasting, all these things. So anyway, we spoke with Tig with Natchez RV Resort. And I asked him, because they did phase one already of the grand opening. And that sold out really quickly. So I wanted to know what kind of people, if you buy into phase two, you'll be hanging out with.
It's an awesome group of people. I can't say better things. It's all very like-minded people. I'm sure a lot of them listen to your show. A lot of people still living and working over here in the greater Seattle area that just want that home base to go to, and they want quality. They want to keep it a resort and not just have it be a park. And it's very tough these days with RVers for them to find a place to go, especially a quality spot. This is one they own. They can treat it like a second home, have their big RV sitting over there. If they get off work on a Friday and feel like just shooting over there, they know it's an option. They can also, when they're not using the lot, we have a great rental program where we can put it into the rental pool and they can rent it back out or weekend to the general public and have them bring some money coming in for them when they're not using it.
Yeah, so we did check in with Natchez RV Resort, and they're only allowing 21 families to come out and actually look at lots the grand opening weekend. They have a few more spots left. So if you're interested, make sure that you pick up your reservation now, 800-422-6009, 800-422-6009, NatchezRVResort.com. They have 21 extra large lots, pricing from just $79.99. Should we also tell people really quick before we get into national that what we're doing on Saturday? We got to make a graphic. We got to do a thing. There's the second annual Dory Monson Stakes.
I think it's the purse.
Purse. At Emerald Downs this weekend.
Yeah.
Which is fun. So they do it. Last year, they honored Dory, who loved to bet on the ponies, at Emerald Downs on, what is the big race? What is the bigger race happening?
Kentucky Derby?
No, Nicole. Oh. They do it on the same Saturday.
Oh.
Belmont?
That might be it. No, sounds about right.
No, that's not it. Okay. Anyway, there's a big... I shouldn't have done this until I researched it. But this Saturday at Emerald Downs, they're going to do the Dory Monson Memorial Purse. And so that's the second year in a row that they're doing that. It always happens on the same weekend. There's a big national race. Somebody's going to tell me in the comments. Hold on. I bet you if I go there right now, someone's going to tell... Belmont. Yes.
Yeah, you were right.
Was I right? That's what Matt says. I'm just assuming Matt's correct. I believe Matt. So they got the Belmont Stakes, and on that weekend, they do the Dory Monson Memorial Purse. And so you just come in and buy a normal ticket for Emerald Downs, but they'll be doing the actual race where you can bet on the race in Dory's honor. Dory did not help me last year. I lost. I was like, tell me, Dory, what horse is going to win? Yeah. Tell me the horse that's going to win. And then my horse lost. But, you know.
We'll try it again this year.
Jason says, don't put... Oh, no, it's the Preakness.
Yep.
Matt, you liar. Matt Gilbert, disappointed, because you came last year with us. Sorry, it's the Preakness. It's the Preakness. Wow, Emerald Downs, if you're watching, I really fumbled that one. I really did. Just like the WIAA, I fumbled.
Are not going to be doing in flag football.
Yes, exactly. okay, we'll talk more about that on the show tomorrow. But maybe if you don't have anything going on this Saturday, you just put a pin in your weekend, because we'd love to have you there. Okay, let's get into some national news. The View, it's been a while since we played something from The View. So Trump's trial is going on in New York. Sonny Hostin has main character syndrome worse than anyone I've ever seen. And that basically means that you think everything revolves around you and you're the main character in your own story. Because she showed up to the Trump trial. She went to the Trump trial. And she wanted a lot of credit from her audience on The View for going to the Trump trial as a black woman.
I was in the courtroom again.
Yeah.
Yesterday. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. What I want to do is give a little color to the courtroom because a lot of people are reporting.
Redo that.
No. little color. I mean that literally and figuratively. Because a lot of people are reporting what was said in the courtroom, right? But yeah. No one has really reported about what you see when you're actually there. And I had said the other day that he appeared orange in an unnatural way. I'd never seen anyone that orange before. What I now have access to binoculars in the courtroom, and so I'm using the binoculars.
What, is it such a big courtroom?
Yes, it's a huge courtroom, and they have a camera directly on Donald Trump because we are behind him, so we can't see his face, but we can see his face on the screen. So while other reporters are zooming in on the documents, I'm zooming in on him.
Okay. Is this your serious legal analysis?
Yes, it really is. It really is, because people have been reporting that he is asleep. He is not asleep. He's enraged. And that's why I think he's so orange, because I think it's red underneath. I saw him during Michael Cohen's testimony sort of going like this. And I said, here's he sleeping. And he went... That is what's happening. So
you know, my dog does that when he's sleeping.
When he's sleeping?
Yeah.
He's not sleeping.
Yeah. Wow. Really quality legal analysis from Sonny Hostin there. I love that she brags that she's using her binoculars to zoom in on Donald Trump's face.
Yeah, glad she's
not
there.
The documents. Really glad she's there. And I love that she gets an applause.
Oh, she waited for it. No, she forced an applause.
There, thank you. And people like, good job for being there. And just add color to the courtroom. The View just cracks me up. I hope they never get rid of The View. I know that it is. It's horrifying that some Americans actually watch The View because they think it's interesting and informative. And educational.
People get their news from there. That's terrifying.
It is scary, but there's just so much gold from there, and I think it shows the unhinged. That is TDS type 1. Remember, TDS type 1 and 2. Okay, we're going to get to questions and comments coming up. A lot of super chats today. You know, you guys, give me a break. Give me a break. Every time we're 1 minute late on the live stream, it's like, technical difficulties. Brandy didn't come to work today. I'm like, listen, we were just finishing something up.
They are calling you out for no poll.
I had a hell of a morning. I had a hell of a morning, and it's not Nicole's fault. This one's usually it's Nicole's fault.
I get blamed, but it's not always my
fault. It's Nicole's fault. This one is 100% me, man. I just underestimated the time to do things, and then I had a meeting, and then I was like, wow. I did my hair and makeup in 5 minutes. Some of you are probably like, yeah, I can tell. Anyway, it's news. things happen, and sometimes we're 1 minute late, but if we're more than 2 minutes late, yeah, then you can, like, call 911. Don't call 911. Call Nicole and ask her what's going on. Anyway, we played a clip on the show last week, Jared Bernstein, Biden's chief economic advisor, who just has no clue what he's talking about, being confronted about an issue called modern monetary theory, and it's this idea that some on the far left hold that because the U.S. prints its own money, then why do we borrow money in our own currency? Why don't we just erase our national debt? Why do we, you know, play this system if we're not really interested in balancing the books? So Jared Bernstein was incapable of explaining modern monetary theory. So we asked our friend Zach Abraham with Bulwark Capital to help us understand it better.
So MMT suggests that rather than using interest rate policy to rein in inflation, you should use tax adjustments up and down. They probably have a point about that. But then they go on to say, this is the way it works. And you go, no, no, no. This is the way it works when you're the world reserve currency. Okay. The problem is this will be what gets you from being or gets you kicked out of being the world reserve currency. And when you're not the world reserve currency, you're going to have some problems on your hands. It, you know, it's sort of like the guy that jumps off the 100-foot skyscraper and you ask him in the middle, you know, how are things going? He's halfway down. He goes, so far, so good. Right?
Yeah.
Now, we all know 50 floors down, he's going to have a rude awakening, but that's kind of that cognitive dissonance in the middle where, you know, everybody's like, hey, it's not bothering us so far.
And the fact that there's so many people talking about and pushing MMT is just further evidence that you need to do everything you can to protect your retirement portfolio from this sort of nonsense. And we're in an election year, global unrest. Zach Abraham and his team at Bulwark Capital specialize in managing your risk. You only get one retirement, so make sure it's not unduly exposed to risk. I suggest their free risk portfolio review. Totally no obligation. They don't even let anybody invest with them at their first meeting. So schedule your free risk review now. KnowYourRiskRadio.com. KnowYourRiskRadio.com. Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Someone offered us some real good advice in the live chat. Mo said, be ready 10 minutes before showtime and you'll always be on time. Gee, Mo, like we don't try, okay? Like we don't try. Let's see here. Questions. We got a lot of super chats today. Thanks, guys. It's always so nice.
They knew you needed more coffee.
What?
They knew you needed more coffee today.
Why?
I mean, you stressed at the beginning. I'm just saying. Oh. So I'm not saying you look like you need more coffee.
Yeah, what are you trying to say?
I'm just saying they somehow knew you needed more funds for coffee today.
I wish, this is what we should do. I wish there was a live cam in here that we like let people monitor at any point in time.
Oh my gosh.
And they could see us before the show almost every day. Like, it's very similar to when I was in TV news. I mean, every morning before the morning show, it was like that. It was a full-fledged mental health breakdown throughout the newsroom because news is like that and it's stressful and it's exciting to do a live show, but it's also like you have a deadline. You can't just put out a podcast casually like I used to do once or twice a week. You have to have it ready. And man, I'll tell you, when it gets around 11:30 and we're still finishing things, the heart rate goes up quite a bit. And like I said, usually it's Nicole's fault.
Oh my God.
Today it was mine.
No, it's not my fault.
You see,
I'll take it. But
sometimes it's your fault.
Sometimes.
Usually. I love how people defend you on the chat, but not me. Other leg.
You always blame me.
Yeah, because you're my only scapegoat here. Okay. Let's see. Matt Gilbert with a $5 super chat. Everything is peaceful until it's not. I don't know what that was in reference to. Probably UW.
UW, yep. Yes.
Bill Biz with the $20 super chat. Downtown Coeur d'Alene from 3 years ago might foreshadow the future citizens' reactions to crime. Future citizen reaction to crime. Downtown Coeur d'Alene. What happened to downtown Coeur d'Alene three years ago? Was it, did they come in there with guns or something and defend property? Because 3 years ago would have been like around racial. Bill Biz, I need some more context. Varquar with $20 super chat. Just in case, the two of you enjoy a cup of coffee. Thanks. Hey. Robert Parker, $10 super chat. Betta boy Bob, the tyrant calling in Mommy Gregoire to comment was priceless. Now he wants special treatment and skirting of the law for himself. The value of the three Bobs was exposing the tyrant. Yeah, I mean, I didn't like the Bob shtick, but the two other Bobs did expose that Bob Ferguson is quick to ask for special treatment. He's quick to ask for prosecution when it benefits him. And he is quick to defend democracy, but ignore attacks on democracy from the other side. So I agree with that. That's a very good point, Robert. Truck theft. So on the vigilante issue and what's happening to Aaron Bobcat. What if your name was Aaron Bobcat?
That'd be kind of cool. Yeah.
Bob.
It's Babcock.
Babcock. Sorry, Aaron Bobcat. That would be such a cool name. What's happened to him just isn't right. And you're just going to see more of it. Let's see here. Robin Hofstad says the car lot guy from Eatonville should take the first mark challenge. Yeah, I should have told him his insurance has gone up. On the road rage numbers, Brett Hammond says those damn right wingers and those guns. Yeah, I'm sure. Just like the right wingers are responsible for the gang shootings in Seattle. The only kind of gun violence Democrats aren't concerned with is gun violence that the left perpetrates. Now, I'm sure that some people who commit acts of road rage are Republicans. I don't know the breakdown of that number, but to think it isn't, I think, is just disingenuous. B. Larson, or did he now change his thing to be Blarson?
I think it's Bob Larson.
Well, I know, but it was B. Larson, and now it just says Blarson.
That probably was a copy-paste.
Okay, kids don't have to cope with anything. See, I told you things are usually your fault. Kids don't have to cope with anything these days. Everyone is a victim of something. Yep. And it's like, it's a competition. Who can be the biggest victim? Who can out-victim the other person? It used to be that we're very hesitant to talk about things that happened to us in our lives. And there's a healthy balance there, you know, that you can come out and like share your mutual experiences with people, but not in a way where you're trying to out-sadness them, because that's just exhausting. Kenneth Rauch says, silly Brandy, laws and fines are only for us peasants with the ability to pay for them. Brianna Ledbetter, my son plays on a youth flag football team and there are many girls in the program. I think it's awesome. These kids aren't high school age yet, but some of them are just as good as the boys. Why not have more sports that are just, would you call it asexual? Like no, that are...
Like teams?
Yeah.
Co-ed?
Thank you. I knew there was a phrase for it. They don't call it asexual sports teams. Why not have more just co-ed sports, like things that
like
don't...
softball that I play?
Well, and or things that don't... is there a sport where your physical...
Tennis, maybe?
...fitness level... No. Serena Williams already said that she'd lose to, like, the 200th ranked man, didn't she? Table tennis, maybe? Because table tennis isn't I do think in real tennis there's a lot of body strength that goes into height that goes mm-hmm. into that, but ping pong, I give up.
Just send kids to the bar, play pool and ping pong.
Yeah, pool,
there you go.
Pool, that's fine.
And there is bowling. Actually, I believe bowling, female, like girls bowling, was one of the sports they did add this year.
Okay. Interesting.
But.
Yeah, I mean, I like the separation, but if we're not going to go down that path, because apparently gender doesn't make a difference physically, like, let's give some more spaces. Just like I said with marathons, fine, you know, don't ban transgender people, but you can't have a man running against a woman in a marathon. So just give them their own category. If you want to participate outside the gender you were born, you can still participate. Here's a category. We'll make a special one just for you. Anyway, Matt says
compete against yourself and win every time.
Matt says it's give Brandy S day. Yeah. Why? And he said, and everyone is celebrating. Why?
He just noticed that apparently.
What did I do to you guys?
Well, every other day is give Nicole day.
Well, here's the other story. Nicole, my valued producer and a valued member of our team. So we're like, hey, let's get these. Let's push out this 25% off merch, you know? And on Friday, I said, hey, before you do that, make sure that you put that we're sold out of gray larges.
I was specifically like,
make sure you change that.
You were standing right here. I did it.
She didn't do it.
I did it.
She tried to do it. She didn't. She failed. So it didn't update. And then we're online and we're selling large gray t-shirts to people. So all night, I was like, Nicole.
But then we found
a stack of large gray t-shirts.
After your large reaction last night.
Now, Nicole, when we moved studios, restacked the t-shirts.
Oh, it was me.
Ma.
But I pulled stacks out just the way you had them at the other studio.
Oh, so you didn't check sizes or anything? So, as I said, most things are Nicole's fault.
Okay. Oh, I'll take that one.
Yeah, that one's you.
That one's me.
Be nice to me.
That was not, you know, show related today, though.
It had directly impacted my level of stress today.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm just kidding. I love Nicole. I just have to yell at someone. Okay, with that, let's wrap things up. Let's do our closing sanity check, shall we? Oh, people are funny on our chat today. You know who else is funny? Because I'm just thinking about what he said. New York City Mayor Eric Adams, he is better than even, he's above parody. Listen to what he had to say about the immigration crisis and its nexus with the job shortage.
Those jobs that we are in high demand, we could expedite. How do we have a large body of people that are in our city and country that are excellent swimmers, and at the same time, we need lifeguards? And the only obstacle is that we won't give them the right to work to become a lifeguard. That just doesn't make sense.
After all, they swam across the Rio Grande, so why not turn them into lifeguards? That has been your sanity check for today. That has been today's episode of Undivided. We'll be on time one day this week, I'm sure. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. Thank you for your sassy comments. Thank you for defending Nicole. Someone has to. I'm going to beat her after the show today. I'm just kidding. Anyway, but still.
Be very careful. They're going to send backup.
Like, the cops will come. Be like, we heard you threatened to physically assault your producer. UndividedPod.com. UndividedPod.com. Just $5 a month. And you keep this ship afloat with your $5 a month payment.